Chapter 3. On the following Sunday, before Darryl's first day at Blueford, his mother asked him to walk to the supermarket to pick up some groceries. She said the store was only 4 blocks away. Darryl was nervous about going out again, but it was early Sunday, so he thought everything might be okay. To be safe, Darryl made sure that Tyree and his friends were nowhere in sight before he headed down the street. The supermarket was much nicer than the one back home. The aisles were cleaner, and the vegetables did not look as old and limp as they did in Philadelphia. Some things were the same, though. Security guards were posted at the doors to stop people from stealing, and the lines seemed long and slow. After Darryl gathered all the things on his mother's list, he moved to the nearest checkout. In front of him was a pretty girl reading a magazine. Darryl noticed she was wearing a snug blue t-shirt with the words Blueford High Buccaneers printed on the back. The image of a pirate's face with a patch over his eye filled the rest of her back. Darryl's heart raced. Here was a chance to meet a girl from Blueford. He wanted desperately to say hi, but did not know what he would say after that. He did not want to make a fool of himself. He had decided it would be better to keep quiet when she suddenly looked up from her magazine and smiled.
Hi,
she said.
Hi,
Darryl said in a voice barely above a whisper. The girl had warm brown eyes and a friendly smile. She was a bit taller than he was. Most girls his age were. He thought it would be great to be friends with her, but he still could not think of anything to say. He wondered what Malik would do in his shoes.
I should have known not to come in on Sunday morning, she said. That's when everyone does their shopping, and the lines take forever. I can't stand being stuck in here doing nothing.
She put the magazine back in the rack.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The other day I took a bus ride that lasted for 3 days. I almost went crazy sitting still that long, Darryl said. You travel that long just to get here?
She said, seeming surprised.
Where are you from?
Philadelphia. My mom and I moved because she got a good job out here. Tomorrow I start school at Blueford, he said.
Really?
This time she seemed almost shocked.
She probably thinks I look too young to be in high school, Darryl thought.
Yeah, I'm a freshman, he said, trying to hide his annoyance.
I thought you looked like one, she laughed. So am I. I guess we freshmen have sort of a look about us, no matter where we're from.
We freshmen.
Darryl turned the phrase over in his mind. He liked it because of the word we. It meant that he was not alone. At least, not as alone as he was before she said it. He held on to that simple phrase the way a drowning person clutches a rope.
So what's your name?
She asked.
Darryl Mercer, he replied.
Well, hello, Darryl Mercer, she said. I'm Amberlynn Bailey.
She smiled and reached her hand out to shake his. He took her hand. It was warm and soft. For a second, he forgot about the fact that he had lost all his friends and that Tyree would be waiting for him at Blueford tomorrow. Finally, the line moved, and Amberlynn turned around to pack her groceries. For once, Darryl wished that the checkout line was even slower.
Well, see you at school, Darryl,
she said, handing money to the cashier.
Maybe we've got classes together.
That'd be cool, he said.
Walking home, Darryl felt a little better about California. Amberlynn was really nice. Maybe there were other kids at Blueford like her. Maybe it'd be okay after all. Tyree and his friends might not be in any of his classes. They might even forget all about him. Darryl hoped there would be someone like Malik in Blueford. Carrying 3 heavy bags of groceries home, Darryl mumbled,
"Maybe the exercise will help build up my muscles."
As he neared the driveway, he could hear the sound of a basketball being dribbled against the concrete. Turning the corner, he saw his cousin Travis taking shots at the basket near the edge of the driveway.
"What are you doing carrying all those bags?" Travis asked.
"I just went to the store to get groceries," Darryl replied, walking quickly past the boy.
When we go to the store, we take my dad's new truck. It's a Nissan. What kind of car does your mom drive?
Darryl hesitated. He wasn't sure if Travis knew that they did not own a car. He didn't want to admit the truth to him.
We left our car in Philly because one of our friends needed it, he said, walking up the stairs of the new apartment. Are you and your mama poor? Travis asked. My daddy says you were poor people in Philadelphia, and that's why he brought you here, because you couldn't take care of yourselves, the boy added, watching Darryl closely.
Darryl took a deep breath, trying to contain the anger that suddenly boiled in his chest.
Would Uncle Jason say such a thing? He must have said something, Darryl thought, because no 9-year-old kid would say something like that on his own. Not unless he was mean, real mean. We ain't poor, and it ain't any of your business what we are. Now, I gotta put these groceries away, Darryl said, fuming.
As he turned to open the apartment door, Nate came outside. The young boy said he wanted to shoot baskets with his brother.
You're too short to play basketball,
Travis said, holding the ball over Nate's head so the boy could not reach it.
Give me the ball, give me the ball,
Nate begged, but Travis kept it just out of his brother's reach. Darryl looked away and went inside. When he walked in, his mother stopped unpacking boxes and came over to help him put the groceries away.
You okay about school tomorrow, honey?
She asked.
I'm okay, Darryl said. You know it's only a mile down to Blueford, and when it rains, you can catch the bus right out on the corner.
I know, Mom.
I'll pack you a nice sandwich and an orange.
No, Mom. I'll get something in the cafeteria. He could tell she was worried about him, and that this was her way of telling him she cared. But it bothered him when she treated him like a baby. It only made him feel smaller. He wished she would just leave him alone.
Well, just in case, I'll put some granola bars in your backpack, his mother said, opening her purse and fishing out $10. Here you go, honey.
He felt bad taking the money. Back in Philadelphia, he would occasionally find work to make a few dollars. Once in a while, he babysat a neighbor's kid. A few times, he worked at a small pizza shop, sweeping the floors, keeping the counters clean, and taking out the trash. Sometimes, he even made enough to give some money to his mother.
Maybe I'll find a job here, Mom. You know, like the ones I had back home, he said. Don't you worry, honey, she replied. I'm making better money now. You just concentrate on school.
As his mother spoke, Darryl heard a muffled yell come from outside. He walked to the door and looked out to see Travis and Nate fighting in the driveway. Nate was lying on his stomach. His arm was twisted behind his back, and Travis was straddling him, saying,
Say you're sorry. You better say it, or I'll twist it harder. Say it.
Nate was whimpering. Dirt and pieces of leaves were in his hair. He was struggling, but he was unable to escape his bigger brother. Darryl could not bear to watch. He knew how Nate felt. He had been in that position before. He remembered the times Jermaine hurt him and no one stepped in to help. No matter where he went, it seemed there always were bigger kids who liked to show how strong they were by picking on smaller, weaker people. Now he was seeing the same thing happening in his own family. He could not sit still and let it happen. Darryl bolted out of the apartment, jumped down the steps, and moved in behind Travis. Then, in one quick motion, he wrapped his arms around Travis's chest and yanked the larger boy off his brother. Stunned, Travis kicked and squirmed until Darryl let go.
Keep your hands off me, Travis yelled.
Pick on someone your own size next time, Darryl said. His pulse was pounding.
I'm gonna tell my dad what you did,
Travis screamed, enraged that Darryl had interfered. The yelling drew Uncle Jason from the house.
Hey, what's the problem here? He asked.
Darryl's pushing me around. He said he's gonna hurt me,
Travis whined.
Tell me what's going on, Darryl. What are you doing messing with my boy?
Uncle Jason asked.
Travis was beating up Nate, so I stopped it. I didn't hurt him, Darryl said.
Uncle Jason started smiling and nodding before Darryl finished his sentence. His face seemed to brighten, as if something pleased him.
Those boys like to play a little rough, Darryl. That's part of a boy's growing up that you've been missing out on. I'm hoping living here with us will give you a little of what you've been missing.
He threw an arm around Darryl's shoulders.
Don't worry when you see these boys playing rough. They're just testing themselves. That's how a boy becomes a man, understand?
Darryl said nothing. Uncle Jason walked over to his sons, holding his fists up near his face like a fighter in a boxing match. Then he stepped closer and faked slow-motion punches into the boys' chests, stopping just before his fist reached them.
You boys get inside and get cleaned up. Go on, he said.
He put his big hand on their shoulders and gently steered them towards the front door. Travis grinned at his father, but Darryl noticed a different look in Nate's eyes. The little boy was rubbing the arm Travis had twisted, and though he said nothing, Darryl could read the look as if it were a word written on a sheet of paper. There was hatred in Nate's face. Darryl knew that feeling well. Poor Nate, he thought. He decided he would watch out for his little cousin, no matter what his uncle said. That was what Malik would do, and that was what he was going to do too.